This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Frank Stacio. Visiting a college campus in 2008 felt a little like visiting a political convention. College towns were painted red and blue. Activists with clipboards in hand scoured streets across America, registering people to vote. And President Obama had many college students to thank for his victory. 22 million young people voted in 2008, and 62% of all college students voted in that election. But has that energy dissipated? Has this election become a quieter one on college campuses? For The View from one major campus, we're joined today by Mark Herring. Mark is a senior at North Carolina State University and editor-in-chief of the campus publication, The Technician. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
What does the election look like at NC State? Describe for us what you're seeing there.
At NC State, students are very active, I would say. Not as active as 2008, but a lot of students are out on the main part of campus called the Brickyard, advocating for their political parties. And in the past, they were registering students to vote. Now, I'd say students are trying to get information out on different candidates to inform others to go out and vote. And at NC State, we have an early voting site at the major student center, the Tally Student Center, and hundreds of people every day go out and vote. And if you're registered in any precinct in Wake County, you can vote at the Tally Student Center. So it's very convenient for students, and I know a lot of students who've taken advantage of it.
And are students mostly, when they're either registering voters or they're engaging in activism for candidates, is that mostly happening on campus? Are students going off campus to engage the community as well?
It's interesting. Republican students are going off campus and working with the GOP in headquarters in Raleigh and calling voters to inform them about the candidates. Democrats are focusing more on students and trying to register voters on campus and informing students about major policies and decisions that will come up in this election and inform students about that. So, and it's an interesting way to look at the entire election, especially as a reporter. I've had a lot of difficulties getting in touch with Republicans. I don't think their major focus is on students. But in terms of getting in touch with Democrats, it's been very easy. I think I've seen David Price on campus more than I've seen other professors.
That's Congressman David Price, who's running for re-election. So do you therefore – do you have a sense that students are leaning one way or another? I mean, it sounds like the Democrats certainly feel that students are at least more likely to lean their way. Do you have a sense on your campus?
You know what? It's actually quite split. And it's really interesting. In October, a political science professor came out with this study called the Pack Poll. Pack Poll for Wolfpack. That's our mascot. And he polled 1,000 students, and it's about 50-50 approval ratings for Obama in favor or not in favor. And on campus, I forget the details, but it's about 50-50 Democrats and Republicans. And it's quite split. And I think the major issue is the economy, because from the PAC poll, a large majority of students are in favor of social progress, especially with gay marriage and those sorts of issues. But the thing that's dividing students the most would be economic policies. And I think that's indicated in the PAC poll, but also on campus. I mean, I'm a senior, so I've been at college for the entire Obama administration. And I think a lot of students are thinking, I'm about to go into the job world. I need a job. Do I agree with President Obama's policies, or do I disagree with them, or do I agree with Mitt Romney's proposed policies? So I'd say the major issue on students' minds would be the economy and the job market.
Well, and certainly in the town hall debate between President Obama and Mitt Romney last month, the very first question came from a college student on Long Island who said, you know, what are you going to do to help me with my student debt and to get a job? Do you get the sense that that student debt and getting a job, that those are the main things that students are concerned about?
Absolutely. And I've actually heard a few students talk about their conflict with this election, their personal conflict. Do I vote for Mitt Romney, who I don't really agree with in terms of social policies, or do I vote for him because of the economy? And a lot of students are having to compromise their values based on which candidate they think is most suitable to solve these economic problems we have.
Hmm. You know, one of the themes I feel like we've heard a lot in this election is that college students are just low on hope. And I mean, especially given the themes of the 2008 election, or at least Barack Obama's themes, are you feeling and that they feel like there just aren't going to be jobs for them no matter what? Is that something that you either perhaps you feel personally or that you've heard from fellow students?
You know, I think students are not as drawn to these elections as they were in 2008. And I don't think any election to come can compare to student turnout and activism in 2008. I was talking to someone about this earlier. That election had a type of sex appeal to it. It was just the cool election, go out, hope, change, all that sort of stuff. Now, and President Barack Obama said this, this is going to be a tough one, and it's not going to be fun. It's going to be difficult because there are a lot of difficult things to solve. And I think students understand the stake they play, the stake they hold in this and the role they play. Students at NC State and at other campuses are worrying about their student loans. And North Carolina is, I'd say some would argue that North Carolina isn't doing enough to make college affordable in terms of tuition. And that's been an issue that's been widely debated at NC State. So I think students are looking at, I need to get a job and I need to pay off my loans. Who's going to help me out with that? Mm-hmm. And I'd say that that's the biggest issue.
Speaking of things with less sex appeal, let's just talk a little bit about local elections, which we were talking about in the last segment. Yeah. And of course, it's hard to get a lot of people interested in that. Is there any energy at NC State around local or state elections?
It's interesting. NC State has this huge local push. You know, let's buy local food. Let's go downtown and support local art scene. But in terms of local elections, there's not as much hype about it. Huh. And that's reflected in the PAC poll. A lot of students, actually more students are undecided about who they'll vote for governor than the students who know that they'll vote for Walter Dalton. Pat McCrory is in the lead, but it's dispersed around the different options they have. And a lot of students don't know who they want to vote for governor. And I'd say there's a disconnect with local politics. And I think that's just a symptom of being a student.
And certainly a lot of the students may not even be from the state.
Exactly. But NC State's an interesting case where it does serve the majority of in-state students. But at the Technician, we've been trying to make this a very important point, that these local elections are perhaps just as important or more important than national elections, especially in terms of policies for the UNC system and with the strategic planning committee. A lot of students are worried about what's going on and what changes will be made, especially with the passing of Bill Friday. Bill Friday, he was actually an NC State alum. He wrote for the Technician, and so we kind of have a role model for us. And we've been pressing that the people who lead North Carolina in the future, that they have the same outlook on education as Bill Friday did. And that's the biggest issue for us, college affordability and serving students across North Carolina. We're not all from the Triangle. And so we're trying to get students passionate about serving North Carolina. And I think that kind of goes back to the NC State land grant principle. You know, we're working for our state to make our state better, to become a better nation.
Well, you've provided a perfect segue for me by bringing up the Advisory Committee on Strategic Directions, which we're going to talk about now. So I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show, Mark. Mark Herring is a senior at NC State and the editor-in-chief of the campus publication, The Technician. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you.
You know, the election isn't the only thing generating political debate on North Carolina campuses. The UNC Board of Governors recently commissioned an Advisory Committee on Strategic Directions, as Mark mentioned. and the group will decide the future of the 17-campus UNC system for the next 5 years. The board's made up of business, government, and education leaders from across the state. Students and faculty, however, are not all fans of the board. A statewide coalition, North Carolina Student Power Union, has been critical, pushing for more student and faculty representation. Two members of that coalition, Zaina Alsous and Juan Miranda, join us today to discuss their concerns and the future of the UNC system. Zaina is a senior at UNC Chapel Hill, and Juan is a graduate student at UNC Greensboro. Juan and Zaina, thanks so much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So tell us a little bit about the North Carolina Student Power Union.
I can start with that. We are a student-run organization. It emerged from organizing that took place in the last couple of years surrounding issues on budget cuts and tuition hikes. We are, like I said, a student-run organization. We have members in different parts of the state. We're working on building a student movement that focuses on bringing more student and faculty input and worker input in the way that universities are run, with the most important of our demands being that we want an affordable and accessible education.
So why is the Advisory Board on Strategic Direction so significant in this movement?
So every 5 years, the university system is tasked with writing a 5-year strategic plan for the university system. And that really lays out the priorities and the vision for the next 5 years in terms of where is the UNC system going. So in the past few years, we've seen a real shift in terms of the trajectory and the priorities of the university system. And speaking of elections, in 2010, when we had a conservative takeover of the legislature then appoints the Board of Governors, and the Board of Governors is really the policymaking body for the university system. And then with hundreds of millions of dollars cut from the budget, the university was then tasked with raising tuition. What's come into question is this real bedrock principle that's in our Constitution, which says that education should be as free as practicable. So what we're really worried about is, will education in North Carolina remain accessible and affordable for all?
Now, I mean, Juan, college students, of course, are very transient folks. You know, they're in town for 4 or 5 years. I mean, you're a graduate student. Depending on what kind of graduate student, you might be there for a little bit longer. But why are our students integral to this process, which might seem like an odd question, but, you know, everyone else involved may have a longer term investment in this?
Yes, it's a difficult population to work with for what you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's a 4 or 5 years. You know, some students take longer. So why should we focus so much on this? I think it's more of a moral question to me. I think that, you know, the way we see things going, this attack in education, I mean, it's seen at different levels. It's not just education. They're attacking every level of the public sectors. I think that as students, we have this flexibility where we can actually do something about it. We have more time. We have more, we have the abilities to. We don't have as many responsibilities, so we are this perfect opportunity. We can actually do something about it, and it's like a perfect platform to resist these attacks on the public sector and our futures, which is what I see.
Zaina, how have faculty been involved in the movement?
So I think what's really important is that we're trying to build this kind of idea of a campus community that's involved in the political process. And so students and faculty and staff really working together to meet and ask one another, you know, what do we want to see from our university system? Because again, going back to the Board of Governors, it's a 32 members on the Board of Governors vote on decisions that affect hundreds of thousands of community members in the university system. You know, we've got over 200,000 students, tens of thousands of faculty and staff. And so faculty and students have really been meeting in the past few weeks, especially around the Strategic Advisory Committee, work to build community forums and different platforms to really raise our issues and our concerns for the future of the university system.
So who is on the board, on the advisory committee for strategic directions, and what are you worried that they are going to do?
Absolutely. So in this year's strategic advisory committee, it is very apparent that the priority was to appeal to politicians and corporate leaders. So you have a lot of wealthy business owners, and you have, you know, Tom Tillis, for example, Speaker of the House, and an individual that we've raised a lot of concerns with, Art Pope. And Art Pope is a multimillionaire owner of or CEO of Variety Wholesalers, and he's personally spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars of his own fortune in the past 10 years to influence policy in North Carolina. And so in terms of whose voices are being prioritized in this advisory committee, we felt as though students, faculty, and staff were not being prioritized. And there is one student that's on the advisory committee, but a third of the committee are business leaders.
Well, now, you know, the UNC system is, of course, a public system, and it's funded by taxpayer dollars. And so let me run this argument by you. I mean, doesn't it make sense for the board to be made up of business leaders and political leaders who represent the people and the businesses who pay the taxes that, that fund the UNC system?
I have trouble with that statement just because I feel like sometimes those their interests, they contradict, you know, the interests of the general population. We have troubles with the composition. It's obviously not a group that's representative of the demographics and the social realities of our state. But at the same time, we have problems with the process, the way this is run. It's not a process like we've seen in previous committees, like the committee of UNC Tomorrow, which took place 5 years ago, where it was a longer process. It was open to the public. There were forums all over the state. They took an entire year, I believe. This committee has decided that they're going to take about 2 months to draw this plan out. All the meetings are taking place in Chapel Hill. There are open meetings, but there's no open, you know, time for people to come and voice their concerns. So it's extremely undemocratic. And not only they don't bring our interests to the table, but they don't allow us to, you know, bring that input from the outside or in those circumstances.
And an additional point to that, I think the recent passing of Bill Friday is especially unfortunate. He was serving on the Strategic Advisory Committee. And we look at Bill Friday as a figure, as an architect of the modern university system. One of his most important priorities was affordable and accessible public education for all, and education that was reinvested in the North Carolina community. And so I think our issue is that when we're hearing the discussion taking place within the Strategic Advisory Committee, because we're soliciting mostly from business leaders, we have a lot of discussions of efficiency and not so much how can education really be a public good that's shared by all.
And I do just want to get the language that the university provided about the advisory committee just into this discussion, which is that they say that the group will help assess North Carolina's current and future workforce needs and recommend degree attainment goals and strategies that are responsive to those needs and changing demographics. We've just got a moment left here, but I want to ask what your next steps are and, of course, how people can find out more about this issue and about North Carolina Power Union.
Yeah, we do have a website, studentpowernc.org. So right now our priorities is that we really want public input time in Board of Governors meetings. We want the community to be a part of the political process happening, you know, on a statewide level. We want to protect financial aid. And we are going to continue to raise our concerns with the Strategic Advisory Committee. But more importantly, we really want to push for students to be engaged with what's happening in the university system. We want students to be important members of the decision making.
Well, Zain Alsous and Juan Miranda are members of North Carolina Student Power Union, and I want to thank both of you for being here so much. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And after the break, bluegrass band Mipso will join us for a live studio performance. Stay tuned to The State of Things.
Luckiest guy in town. You are.